Well, thank you for your kind words and warm welcome. It is great to be back with you and to share God's word. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles or on your phones to Jeremiah 29, and we're going to read a few verses starting at verse 4. I bring greetings from my team in Cardiff. We serve the whole of Wales, but our HQ is in the High Street in Cardiff. My colleague Jim and Cynthia and all the other team members say hello. We do pray for you. We have a staff team meeting every Tuesday, and we pray for churches around the nation, and we include you in our prayers for God's blessing upon you and for his word to go forth powerfully through you. We thank God for churches like this. Is that good? It's good to be part of a good church, isn't it? You are part of a good church. Jeremiah 29, and starting to read at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you in exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, as we continue to worship you in this gathering, we have worshipped you in song and prayer, adoration. Now, Lord, as we've listened to the public reading of your word, we pray that you will speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit through this, your living word, and enable us to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, and to be ready and willing to respond to that which you say. We ask in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you like titles to messages, the title I would give to this evening's message is Taking Our Place. May seem a little bit strange to read from this particular part of Jeremiah. It's a bit of a doom and gloom context. Jeremiah wasn't known for his joy, necessarily. He was rather a sort of sad and slightly morose prophet. But we do have here a crucial part of the life and experience of the people of Israel, taken into captivity, God's people, taken into captivity for 70 years. This letter is written to them whilst in captivity. Now, I don't know about you, but I get the impression throughout the UK that most people do not consider these days the church has very much influence. It's not key in changing today's society. I believe differently, but lots of people you talk to have written the church off. They don't have too much time for it. Jesus, well, he's a bit different. Lots of people have time for him, but they struggle with this thing called church. There was a survey undertaken a few years ago by a secular survey by the people who brought the television program to us, Primeval. Did anybody see that sci-fi Primeval? Some of the students bound to have seen that. Dinosaurs appearing through wormholes, you know, that sort of thing. Not as good as Thunderbirds, you know, back in the day, but not bad. Well, they undertook a survey and they asked just one question of 3,000 people around the UK. And that one question was, which dead person would you most like to meet? And they honestly thought that most people would say Princess Diana. But one third of the 3,000 gave the same answer. Who was that? Jesus. He's the one people want to meet. They didn't realize actually he's alive. But, you know, they wanted to meet Jesus. See, people struggle with this thing called church often. But actually, Jesus, they're hungry to find out what this amazing person is really like. But people seem to write off the church. In 2006, Jerry Springer, the opera, came to the Wales Millennium, and he said world then, the Wales Millennium Centre in Cardiff. And there was an organised protest. Christians felt it was blasphemous, it shouldn't happen. And 45,000 people complained to Cardiff City Council, and it still went ahead. We don't have much influence, people might say. But we are informed by God's word, not popular trends or hostilities. We know that Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. We know that the kingdom will be extended. The church may not always be popular or considered to have influence, but God will extend his kingdom. Over the last 100 years in Britain, especially in Wales, the experience of Christians has moved from living in what might be called Christendom to living in Babylon or in exile. We're not in Jerusalem, but we seem to be in a minority in exile. The 28th British Social Attitudes Survey in 2011 revealed that those brought up in Christian faith in the UK, of them, 40% had lost their faith in adulthood. Also, 94% of those brought up with no faith or religion had not turned to faith later in life. Now, the British Humanist Society is rejoicing at that. They would love to see the church extinguished and the kingdom of God stopped in its advance. And we can be discouraged by that, as the people in Jeremiah's day could have been discouraged because they were away from homeland and in exile. But God's word tonight is that wherever we are, whatever the stats might be saying, whatever stacked against us, Jesus will build his church and the kingdom of God will be extended. And we are called to take our place, whatever the situation might be. How can we live and grow as Christians in a pluralistic society where we are the minority? Well, this passage has a powerful answer to that question. It's positive, even from sad old Jeremiah. It's a positive message. The Babylonians, let me give a bit of context here, knew a little bit about identity and how to assimilate it. That was their speciality. They would capture people, they would take them away from their homeland, even the people of God, and they would try and assimilate them. They give them one of two alternatives. Either be forcibly subjugated and suffer unimaginably, or allow yourselves to be assimilated and prosper. And assimilation meant access to the best jobs, homes and relationships, a path that led to less suffering, but also the loss of identity as God's people. Real pressure. How can we retain our identity as the people of God? How can we live as women and men of faith as aliens in a hostile environment? There's a famous Psalm 137 that was written during this time of Babylonian exile. It goes like this. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Anybody thinking Boney M? By the rivers of Babylon? We sat down and wept. How can we sing the Lord's song in this strange foreign land, this hostile environment? Well, the challenge of Jeremiah is this. How can we afford not to sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let's learn how to sing the Lord's song in a hostile, strange environment. I would say that the experience of Christians in Wales today is nearer to Babylon than Jerusalem. We are in a minority. Soon after the last revival in Wales in 1904-1905, the train of Christendom was full and gained momentum. But it soon headed into a siding to avoid the mountainous territory of the social gospel, as it was called. Consequently, the happy band of pilgrims slowly lost momentum. The main line they deserted was then used by other trains that connected with the entire nation. Trains carrying humanists, atheists, people of other faiths, and some nominal Christians. During the rest of the 20th century, the preoccupation of the church was with survival rather than seeking the kingdom of God. We can't fall back on a heritage. We can't fall back and say, well, we are a Christian nation, therefore it's okay. We have to take our place in a very different environment and hostile terrain. A friend of mine, a minister from Cardiff, wrote his PhD thesis on the history of denominationalism in Wales. What an exciting title. And he maintained this in his thesis. When God was moving in power in this small nation, and there was the sect of Baptists or the sect of Presbyterians, things seemed to work really fine. But once it was organized into a denomination, it seemed to lose its way. Now, that might be right, that might be wrong, but here's the point. Once we become preoccupied with structures and legislation rather than being the dynamic, world-changing people of God, who even governments cannot thwart and halt, that's when we face danger. It's time to take our place in God's plan. So the prophet Jeremiah sent a letter to the people in exile, calling them to take their place as the people of God and to influence in the land of captivity. Now, I've identified at least three parallels between the exile and the church in the UK today. First of all, it's increasingly difficult to live out our faith distinctively in the climate of adverse legislation. It's becoming harder for us, as it was with the people of God in Babylon. Just this week, you would have heard the result of a decision in Aberystwyth University to not receive Gideon Bibles in the halls of residence. That's quite a change, isn't it? That's a changing environment. Secondly, we're a minority voice. Thirdly, the government is attempting to redefine our belief and practice as an attempt at assimilating these people called Christians into what the government wants to define as the best way to live in the UK. Laws are coming in that may make being a Christian quite difficult. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised. Because Jesus never said taking up our cross daily and following him would be easy. But how can we take our place in our modern day Babylon, in our exile? Well, let's pick out a few of the lessons and the prophetic words that Jeremiah brings to the people of God. First of all, in verse 5, he says, build continuously. Build houses and settle down. And I would say build for God's kingdom, not just the local church. As I travel around Wales, I'm just sensing something very exciting. More and more Churches, Christians in different parts of the nation are excited about God extending his kingdom. And as he does that, he builds his church. But the focus of local church is not just on seeing the church grow, though it must, but it's also on seeking the kingdom of God. Building with the welfare of others in mind, the blessing of all in our communities. We're part of a small Baptist church in the old Docklands area of Cardiff. It's called Grangetown Baptist. Now, 150 years ago, we're having our 150th anniversary this year. Some of the original members are still with us. No, not really. We're having a 150-year celebration this year. And 150 years ago, it was a thriving church, 1,000 in the Sunday school. Even 100 years ago, 1,000 in the Sunday school. People would flock to the church. Now, we have 35 members. It's a multi-ethnic community, 25% Muslim, and a transient community. We have to do church differently in Grangetown. We're in a Babylon environment, not a Jerusalem environment. And part of our challenge with our new incoming part-time pastor, who's just been appointed, we're delighted to say, our challenge is to discover how to take our place in 21st century Grangetown. Well, a little while ago, one of the city councillors contacted me, not a Christian. She said, "Would you please call together all the church leaders from Grangetown?" I said, "Certainly." So we met with her and another councillor in our church in Grangetown. And she said, "I'd love to share with you all the city council's desire to work with you to improve social cohesion in Grangetown. Are you willing to talk to us?" We said, "Yes. We'll help." She said, "We have buildings that are empty. We'll make them available to churches to use for community outreach, for youth work, for children's work. Are you interested?" We said, "Yes." She said, "I want to ensure that this community is better." Subtext was, "We want to guard against radicalization taking place in Grangetown because it is taking place in our community." This is a brilliant opportunity, different to 150 years ago, of the church taking its place and seeking first the kingdom. So we're bouncing around ideas. Church down the road near our community has run a mentoring course for the last 20 years, mainly for Muslim women, teaching them English. Through this, many, many hundreds of people have experienced the love of God. It's a benefit to the whole community, but it's not straightforward preaching the gospel. It's a little bit different, but it's seeking the kingdom. Build for God's kingdom and not just local church. Biblical example, the church in Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. Of the seven churches, you may know the story, Laodicea was the most affluent of them, but apparently failed to use its resources to build for the kingdom and failed to be rich in passion and good works that benefited others. And this is the only church where Christ is depicted as being on the outside. "Behold, I stand on the door and knock. I want to come in." But he's not in already. That is sad. That is mind-blowingly sad. Can we be the people of God, seemingly righteous, seemingly doing the right things, but somehow not have the presence of Christ in our midst? One of those conundrums of Scripture, isn't it? The exciting thing is, across the nation, there are signs of an increasing kingdom mentality. I may have told you this when I last came. I can't remember. Please forgive me if I've said this before. But just recently, we had the privilege, as National Prayer Breakfast in Wales and Evangelical Alliance Wales, of presenting a facsimile of the William Morgan Bible to the National Assembly for Wales. Now, 12 years ago, we started a conversation with the Assembly. And we said, "We would like to make a presentation of this facsimile because the Bible has had such a central place in shaping Welsh culture." The Welsh translation by Bishop William Morgan in 1588. They sort of said yes, but could never agree a date and a time to receive it. I wrote to all 32 denominations in Wales, including the Baptist Union of Wales and the South Wales Baptist Association and the Catholics and the Greek Orthodox Church and every single movement and church, that if we make this presentation, are you willing to have your name on a plaque to say you agreed to the presentation? Guess what they said? Yes. That's EMW, the Roman Catholics, the Greek Orthodox, the Pioneer Church, New Frontiers, Vineyard, Redeemed Church of Christ, Black Majority Church. They all said yes. And if you go into the assembly now, or into the Pierhead building next to the Senate, you can go into a room where this Bible is on display and every single denomination is listed, saying presented by each one of these. That's a kingdom mentality. That's for the kingdom, not just the church. Build with substance before style is what Jeremiah is really saying to these exiles. Captain Andrew Entwistle of the US Army wrote this, and these are his words before you get shocked. This is what he said. Integrity is like virginity. Once you've lost it, it's gone for good. We have to be people of character and integrity to take our place and sing the Lord's song in a strange land. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control. Character is so important. Build continuously. Then he says, plant for sustainable development. That's a good National Assembly expression, isn't it? Plant for sustainable development. Verse 5b, plant gardens and eat what they produce. The Jewish exiles planted their gardens so that they, their children, and successive generations could be fed. Here's God's word to us. Plant by sowing seeds into young lives, by mentoring, training leaders, for bivocational ministry. Take on somebody under your wing, sow seed into them, build sustainably, plant into the lives of others. We may lose the privilege of having training colleges. We may lose some of the privileges of charity status and exemptions because we're Christians or because we're Christian charities. But we can still sow seeds in the lives of other people. Maybe paid ministry in churches will become more and more difficult as time goes on. That's a challenge, but it's an opportunity. So that every woman and man in Wales who loves Jesus has the confidence and has somebody mentoring them and sowing seed into them so they can be a confident minister of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Planting this way means that others can take up the baton. Our children will not receive a bitter legacy. It's a different paradigm. We're in a different situation now. And then verse 6, engage in strategic alliances. Marry and have sons and daughters. Increase the scope of your influence through key collaborations with a common goal. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm the director of Evangelical Alliance Wales and I'm all about getting people to work together. That's not the reason. I'm not feeding this into the Bible so that I can just endorse the alliance's mandate. If you were thinking that. This is biblical. Strategic alignment is God's way of working. Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he made and it was very good. Shalom. Peace. Perfect harmony. When God made the heavens and the earth and including the human race, he said it was very good. What did he mean? Every single thing that he created was working in perfect harmony with everything else. That is what shalom means. That's God's intention. That's God's purpose. That's his ultimate purpose in redemption of all things. The new heaven, the new earth, perfect harmony, heaven's rule on earth. John 17:23. Jesus prayed, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. We're designed to be connected. We are designed to collaborate, to be together as the people of God. Ephesians 4:16, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's a fantastic picture. These wonderful bodies that we have, this wonderful example you're looking at tonight, is an example of going to the gym regularly. Pity about the hair. God's design is that this wonderful body should work together in perfect harmony. That's the body of Christ. That's the way God works. That's the plan of the kingdom. Vision and collaboration to achieve that vision. The managing director of a Welsh drill-making company asked his workforce, "What is our aim?" And most of them replied, "To make better drills." He said, "No, it's to make better holes." And the drill serves the hole, which is the main purpose of this company, so holes can be made. We sometimes miss the main thing as the Church of Jesus Christ. Get caught up with the technique instead of the goal that God is calling us to achieve as the people of God. They were in exile. All their rights had been taken away. They didn't have any power, but they had amazing influence. Increase the effectiveness of your influence by harnessing the strengths of our diverse gifts. Two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. What would it mean to invest in my home and my work and relationships for the welfare of others? Not just thinking about myself and what blesses me. Not just thinking about what blesses my own church. But what blesses the people in the community. The kingdom coming is heaven's rule on earth. The blessing of God's presence upon human society. Jesus taught us to pray that prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, what does that mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it means. Heaven's justice, righteousness, forgiveness, harmony, peace. Strategic collaborations. And finally, in verse 7, he says, seek the peace and prosperity of the village, town, or city, my translation, that you are placed in. This incarnational ministry of God's faithful presence through his people is countercultural. We may lose power in terms of government recognition, but we have influence under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a countercultural influence. Remember the story that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan? Anybody not know that story? Who knows that story? Oh, we know that story. What really shocked his hearers was this. That the person traveling on the road, who was a Jewish person, was attacked. A priest came by and ignored him. A Levite came by and ignored him. A Samaritan came by, sworn enemy of the Jews, hated by them, and actually cared for that person. That's countercultural. That's the kingdom of God. That's learning how to be of influence in a hostile environment. Seek the peace and prosperity of your town, of your village, of your city. What will that mean? Well, in our context, in Cardiff, it might mean speaking up on behalf of the rights of ethnic minorities who are being persecuted because of their ethnicity. That's a kingdom thing to do. My colleague Jim and I were invited to have a conversation with some members of the Interfaith Council, of which we're part, in Wales. Two particular members were there, one Muslim and one Hindu. And they said to us, "Can we tell you privately that we really want Wales to be known as a Christian country?" And Jim and I were quite shocked by that. Here are two people who are obviously not claiming to be Christians saying we really would like Wales to be known as a Christian country. And we said, well, that's nice. Why? And they said, because we know that if Wales is known as a Christian country, we will be safe. Because the kingdom brings justice. Do we believe the same things? No. Do we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Yes, we do. But we value people and we champion their freedom. It's a countercultural, seeking the peace and prosperity. It's non-compromising. We are not ashamed of what we believe. Jesus was the most inclusive person who ever walked the face of this earth. He would talk to prostitutes, tax collectors, scribes, Pharisees, academic theologians. The most inclusive person. But he also had the most exclusive message. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Non-compromising and compassion-led. No surprise that CAP centres and food banks and street pastors are gaining media attention throughout Wales because they see it as Christians doing something useful for a change, actually helping people. Now, we do it because we love Jesus. So Jeremiah in 31, a couple of chapters on, says this. The Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Taking our place means learning how to love God and love others in a different way. If our rights are taken away, if our hands are tied, if laws legislate against our freedom to preach the gospel, we can still unashamedly be the people of God. And here's something that I believe strongly personally. When we do that, I believe that heaven visits earth. It's often in the most difficult circumstances that we often use the expression, God breaks through, or something powerful happens. There are many places in Wales described as thin places. Peter will be very familiar with this. Places where the sort of veil between heaven and earth is very, very thin indeed. You can go to that place, it might be Bardsey Island, it may be in the prayer room here, where there's a thin place, a very great sense of the presence of God. We shouldn't be surprised. In the most difficult circumstances, when the church is under greatest pressure, that's when we can often experience the presence of God in the most outstanding way. So let's take our place, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be unashamedly the people of God and have the confidence that Jesus will build his church as we seek first the kingdom of God. At the end of the day, it's up to him, isn't it, to do the work only he can do. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you that even though we face times of challenge, that you are a faithful God. Nothing changes with you. Your promises remain the same. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us in Wales today to be unashamedly the people of God who take our place in our communities, in society, hold fast to that which is true, and demonstrate with compassion the presence, the power, the good news of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Build your church, Lord. Build this, your church, Lord. Add to the number of Penrath members daily those who are being saved. Come, Holy Spirit. Give us a glimpse of heaven. Your splendor, your majesty, your love, your all-consuming presence. For we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.